Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host, Evan Ryer. Evan, what about this setup I've got here today? We are at Party Girl Avondale in Duval, 4205 St. John's Avenue. A little bit of everything here at Party Girl, Ev. You know the primary owner, so you know she's going to have literally some things cooking around here.
No, for sure. I am very jealous just because y'all get to eat poppy seed chicken whenever you want to, and I'm 7.5 hours away.
Yeah.
And I have to make that if I want to eat it, and it's not going to be half as good as what you can get at Party Girl. I know that for a fact. That, not to mention all the different sweets as well. My sweet tooth is still very strong, and
what I would get, that honestly, I'm afraid of, you know, yeah. You didn't really have a choice in it, I don't think.
No, yeah, when you're raised by chocolatier, baker, you know, all around fantastic chef,
the that's DNA in general, yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's tough to lose weight, but it's even tougher just to not just. I don't know. My the fact that I don't have diabetes is kind of shocking to me.
I'll the say diabetes. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to keep an eye on that. You know what we've got today, or they have here today at Party Girl too, something you grew up, you talk about the formative years for yourself. We've got that Pawpaw's vegetable beef soup.
Oh my gosh.
The soup of the day. I know, right? God. You grew up eating that, and Heather Ryer's got that going today. That's the fresh soup of the day. We've got the golf course chicken salad, Ev.
Oof.
A lot of stuff right up your alley right here.
Yeah, that's – I kind of forgot about pawpaw soup. I need to get down there soon and get
absolutely.
Some.
Absolutely.
That just took me back to, you know, being 5 years old. So I miss it. But
good stuff. And we're going to talk a lot about – of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars today from Party Girl in Avondale. Ev, we are in the home stretch of this GM selection process, the interview process. As we know, it is a Friday as we podcast. We do this show live on a Friday afternoon. And what we do know is that the interview with James Gladstone, the director of scouting strategy for the Los Angeles Rams, has been completed. Pretty neat to see the Jaguars themselves actually update this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Through the process. It's so like anti-college football and how that works. You've got the social media account for the Jaguars letting you know who's interviewing, when their interview is complete. And James Gladstone's an interesting dude because he does have background with new Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen. And it looks like he got the final at bat, so to speak, in this thing, and anticipating that this thing could come to an end at any time now. And with Gladstone being that final guy at the plate, there seems to have been, even in the last 24 hours, Ev, around social media, different outlets, not going so far as to report that he is the guy. But if you were to put odds or take odds on right. it in Vegas, he seems like he surged to the top of this list, and that's kind of interesting because Ian Cunningham, the Chicago Bears assistant general manager, going into this final round, seemed to be that guy with momentum.
Yeah, you know, I'm very curious to kind of get the full story afterwards because generally, I mean, I think it's pretty rare for the last, you know, guy to interview to get the job. I mean, most of the time, you know, it becomes very clear how, you know, NFL teams are kind of perceiving their top guy or, you know, their pecking order of sorts. And the earlier you interview, generally the better. But in this situation, yeah, the pulse has definitely moved towards Gladstone's way. You know, as we were kind of talking before the show, a lot of people on Twitter chatting about it, a lot of people leaning that way. And, you know, I get it in many ways. While I think Cunningham is also a fine candidate, I do very much like the idea of getting someone, you know, coming from an organization that has won a Super Bowl while he's been there, you know, as, you know, kind of been a perennial contender and winner. Not so much with the Bears, right? Not exactly a ton of success while Cunningham's been there. And, you know, kind of famously lots of questions about how the Bears kind of do things. So at least in terms of background, I do like Gladstone a bit more than Cunningham.
Yeah, you know, you ask around a little bit about Ian Cunningham in Chicago, and within that building, the guy is absolutely beloved.
Yeah.
I know there has been talk of, look, if Jacksonville gets that guy, it's going to be tough on the Bears. But what you're saying is absolutely on point, too, with James Gladstone. He's got a track record. He's been in an organization for an extended period of time that has had extensive success while he's been a part of that, working with Liam Cohen during that process. But you know, you also have Ethan Waugh, previously or still of the Jaguar staff, working under previous general manager Trent Baalke. Of course, Ethan, the interim general manager. I could see a scenario where if it isn't Ethan Waugh as the next general manager, that there is an attempt by Tony Boselli and Shad Khan and the upper echelon of management to try to keep Ethan Waugh around. I think he's that respected by his peers and by Tony Boselli and really Shad Khan as well. So that would be interesting to watch play out if it isn't Ethan Waugh. You've also had John Eric Sullivan of the Green Bay Packers, vice president of player personnel, who has been through this finalist process. Josh Williams, director of scouting and football ops for the San Francisco 49ers, also a finalist. So as, again, as we record this or we do this live, no formal announcement from the Jags, but just sort of trying to read some tea leaves and anticipating, again, that there could be an announcement at any time this evening, tonight. You got the combine coming up. So this is absolutely when you want to try to get this done. You want to get this next GM up to Indianapolis as quickly as you can, because a lot of the Jaguars contingent where the combine is concerned starts making their way to Indianapolis tomorrow on Saturday morning. So there's a timing to all this as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, whoever's coming in is, you know, immediately heading to Indianapolis. There's not really going to be a whole lot of, you know, you're not going to get the office set up, right? You're going to do that when you get back. But in a lot of ways, all these candidates are actively employed working for other NFL teams, right? So, you know, there shouldn't be any worry of, well, have they been paying attention? It's like, yeah, of course, like they're doing their thing. So that's good news in that regard. Sometimes, I especially when the GM search started, I was thinking about that a lot of, if you hire someone who's been out of work for, you know, a year to 6 months, obviously these are all like highly paid, you know, top level people, they're going to be locked in, but it's better to know that somebody is basically seamlessly jumping from one team to the other. It's critical. I mean, this draft for the Jaguars this year is maybe as important as one as they've had in a while. Just if anything, just to kind of start to pivot, you know, I mean, after all the, three coaches in the past 5 years, 6 years or whatever, you know, this next situation needs to start sturdy, start strong. And it's going to be quite the turnaround.
Yeah. One way or the other, all these guys are headed to Indianapolis, you would think.
Right.
So
just need to bring a change of clothes. You know, you just got to take off the Bears or the Rams.
Right. It's just a matter of which gear you're packing. Yeah. And you better pack a lot of it, it sounds like, because Indianapolis, I know you're in Birmingham, Alabama, in that area.
Yeah.
Imagine going about 8 hours north of that right now. It's going to be a little chilly up there in Indy. Speaking of Indy, Evan, wanted to get your thoughts on the Jacksonville Jaguars and sort of a to-do list for you for this team. I mean, obviously, we're still somewhat early in the process, understanding there's going to be pro days coming up. There's going to be private workouts. There's going to be visits by prospects to teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I guess that's more, as you get into March and before you start really getting into April and getting close to the 2025 NFL draft. But where does that sit with you? I mean, from what you've heard from Liam Cohen and even the coordinators now we've heard from for the Jacksonville Jaguars, positionally, culturally, intangibly, how do you prioritize this sort of pecking order for this new realm, this new regime in Jacksonville?
Well, you know, I mean, Cohen said it on day one. We talked about it in, you know, recent episodes, but I mean, offensive line, right? It's just, there's just so much work to be done there. So many questions to answer. So really, in terms of, I guess, like a personnel area to focus in, I mean, I think it's got to be that. Culturally, you know, I think that's kind of the big question mark with Cohen and whoever they bring in is what is their approach to that? You know, we've heard Cohen talk about what he likes to do in terms of tactics, in terms of scouting, all that different types of stuff. But, you know, overall, that's kind of something that you can't just build in the opening months, you know, especially really we're probably not going to know more about that until June, July, yeah, as the practices begin. So, you know, I definitely say offensive line is what comes to mind. I would love to see or learn more about their drafting strategy or their kind of general approach. Gladstone and Cunningham have kind of different approaches. Gladstone's track record is in the draft, you know, or at least as part of that Rams staff in the draft is really, really good. They've had a ton of draft picks over the past 3 or 4 years. So I'm wondering if that's something that, you know, you might see, especially with the next year or two, is, you know, kind of a focus on let's build draft picks rather than let's go, you know, sign big ticket free agency guys. Which, you know, if they go that route, I mean, like I said, the amount of dudes like just in 2023 alone, Byron Young, Kobe Turner, both joined that Rams staff. Speaking of Gladstone specifically, Puka Nacua in the 5th round. I mean, if the Jags can have kind of mid-round picks like that, things can turn around pretty dang fast.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because the Jags have kind of the surplus of picks, it yeah. seems like. And you hear a lot of the draft analysts and experts talk right now, and they're saying that the strength of this draft will probably be more rounds like 2 through 5, two through six. So that could line up quite nicely if it is, in fact, Gladstone next up.
Yeah, I mean, that is the most exciting thing about him. I mean, you go back a little bit further, Kyren Williams was a 5th round draft pick. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Ernest Jones is still on that roster, a very solid role player as a kind of outside linebacker there. You know, those are what's interesting too, is that all those, you know, those defensive end, running back, all that stuff, that is all stuff that the Jaguars will probably pick up on this year. They're, you know, I'm anticipating at least another DE to kind of freshen up that group. You know, obviously Josh Hines Allen and Trayvon Walker are your guys. But in the NFL, you can't have two, you know, just starting guys on the ends. You really do need probably to be too deep on both ends of the defensive line. So that's an area of interest, you know, and obviously I know that the focus right now with the combine is draft. But, you know, you start, you know, looking at free agency pretty heavily by February. I know, you know, tampering, all that different stuff, but we know the name of the game. We know that underneath the red tape, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So that's another thing where trying to kind of deduce where the Jaguars might be looking in terms of, okay, we will spend money on this for experience rather than just draft and develop guys.
Absolutely. And you think about, you know, guys that wouldn't mind maybe being reunited. We heard recently from Trevor Lawrence, I think, in relation to T. Higgins.
Yeah.
You know, those type of things in the offseason that you have to sort of allot for and forecast. And it's not just about the draft process.
Yeah. Well, and then on the other side, speaking of Cunningham, the Bears have released like 3 players today, like 3 veteran players. Gerald Everett, you know, still doing it at tight end.
Tight end.
He just got released. And then also DeMarcus Walker, the 30-year-old defensive
Florida
end.
State product. So yeah.
Those are, DeMarcus Walker, if I'm correct, is from, you know, Jax. So,
yeah, Sandalwood High School, stand up.
Yeah, so you know, there's connections there too. You know, if it is Cunningham, you know, maybe there's some, you know, already some movement, you know, to
a foot.
Yeah, you know, you never know. It's also just this week in general has kind of been the start of, okay, we're gonna start releasing guys, we're gonna start cutting some of the veteran guys so that they can have a you know, the first foot in terms of looking for new teams or figuring out new contracts or whatever.
Pretty big retirement over in Dallas too. Starting to see some of those too, as far as Martin, I guess the offensive lineman for the Cowboys, has decided to call it a career. So as we look ahead to the coming days and weeks up in Indianapolis, Evan, maybe not even so much Jaguar related, but some of the storylines in general that you're keeping your eyes and ears open for. Obviously, it's always, will these quarterbacks all throw? Will these guys run, you know, at certain positions? What are your sort of attention, your emphasis points for that?
I'm definitely thinking, mostly about the quarterback situation, just because, you know, kind of like it was in the Trayvon Walker draft. There's not like slam dunk prospects. So I'm very curious to see if like Cam Ward, you know, fully makes the jump, if he kind of fully isolates himself as maybe the number one overall prospect. And then simultaneously, you know, is there, you know, what kind of surprises are we going to get? You know, pretty much every year at the combine, there's somebody that's not really on radars that just has a athletic performance that no one's really anticipating. In terms of this year, not necessarily sure who that could be, but it's always on the table.
It is, and look, how that quarterback situation plays out could determine not only who the Jags might take, obviously, at five, but do they even stay at five?
Yeah.
Depending on what happens with Shedeur Sanders and also Cam Ward and how that goes.
Yeah. And then, of course, like if – and then kind of in the reverse regard of like if the guys underperform, you know, that's also like a negative thing. Like let's say someone like Abdul Carter from Penn State doesn't quite exactly have, you know, a great combine performance. Is that the type of person where he could shift out of maybe that second or third spot where people think he might get drafted? If he falls to the Jags a little bit later, is that – I mean, again, that'd be a burden of riches to have another DE that's really, really good. But, I mean, Abdul Carter is pretty exciting. So that can create new questions for the Jags and this new GM.
Yeah, the only thing about Abdul Carter that I wonder about is he – is he a universal fit? In other words, regardless of concepts and scheme, is he a fit in every defense? And then you say, guy can get after quarterback. That guy can be a fit anywhere. I hear you. But if you're taking him where some people are talking about taking him, you're not taking a situational guy. I guess Will Anderson could be kind of that sort of guy that some teams looked at that way going through the draft process. Yeah. A few years ago, but you know, it's also, as you said, you go into this process feeling, oh yeah, it's this guy at defensive end, it's this guy at tight end. And then as we get into the combine and we get some new data, boy, the narrative can shift very quickly. A guy like Kenneth Grant of Michigan could be one of those type of guys. A guy like Tyler Booker of Alabama could be one of those guys. When you think about Jag needs, whether it's defensive line, offensive line, and then hearing from some of the more respected, I would say, draft analysts out there, a guy like Jordan Reed that I think a lot of works for ESPN, does the work, really into it. And he tells you, look, tight end, DL, and I guess running back, going to have great depth there this year in this draft. That's the stuff I tend to lean more towards, and then I try to line it up with what the Jags could be looking at. And you know, we talked about one of the 3-round mocks last time here on the show, and you know, it was kind of a funny pick. We'll all agree. I think they're in the 3rd round with Trevor Etienne to the Jags, given Travis's place with the club. But I think positionally, I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of ends up laying out that way for the Jaguars when you think DL and you think running back and you think tight end, even with Mason Taylor being that pick in that 3-round mock we talked about from LSU.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing, too, because, you know, in the first year of a GM, you're kind of thinking, you know, I guess you're kind of figuring out, are we in a situation where a few pieces takes us to a playoff team, or are we kind of in more of a rebuild than maybe anticipated? Because the Jaguars have, you know, some really nice pieces on the roster, but clearly, you know, have some work to do. But, you know, it's figuring out how much work is that going to be? Because if you know, Cunningham or Gladstone get in here and things are, I don't know, maybe more optimistic than they initially thought, then, you know, then you start looking at the combine a little bit differently. You're not maybe focused as much on best talent available, but you're really, really focusing in on fit guys that can, you know, kind of contribute right away. If they're, you know, if it's the other end of things where it's like, okay, well, it's probably going to be 2 years before we really have the roster we think we need to potentially compete for a championship. In that case, I mean, I say lean into the talent that's available in this draft. That means taking DL, maybe when you feel like you don't need it quite as much, then do that. You know, if that means, you know, kind of if you get to the point of the draft where secondary is really strong. I mean, obviously the Jaguars need help there. So, you know, I think run the hot hand of sorts, you know, figure out where you can, you know, just truly get better because yeah, at least from the outside looking in, there's work that needs to be done all across the board.
Yeah. I think the point is a good one. It position does matter, obviously, yeah. But making sure you get the right guy, if you pick at five, regardless of position, is even more important. You just can't sustain misses at five. You can miss at 28. Right. Yeah. I mean, typically, but you can't miss. You don't, yes. You really can't afford to miss at five. So in terms of sense of urgency that you think the Jacksonville Jags should be sensing the most at this point in the draft process, this point in the offseason, this point in the GM search, all those things, what do you think is at the top of that list? What is the biggest, most urgent aspect of this organization, this team, that needs to be addressed moving forward?
I think it's, oh man, it's tough. I think it's offensive identity. I don't want to just harp on offensive line specifically again, but you know, I do think that matters a lot.
Big part of it, obviously. Yeah.
But that was the number one issue we had with Doug Peterson, especially in 2024, was the lack of direction, the lack of kind of a plan or like a vibe or just anything to say, this is what we are trying to do. This is how we are going to, you know, specifically influence the game. I'd love to get, you know, more from Cohen on that. Again, that's something that we're not going to really be able to see until, you know, players are back in Jacksonville working together, practicing and stuff. But with these first, you know, decisions, whether it's in free agency in March or in the draft in April, I want to see a very clear, you know, direction of what they're trying to build.
A lot, doing away with the sense of almost just randomness.
Yeah.
That we experienced here in the last 3 or 4 years, whether it was maybe the player acquisition processes, whether it was the offensive approach on the field, you know, about halfway through last season, I just sort of came to the belief of, Trevor's like a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He needs a run game. He really needs a run game. And so I think that's where I align with you in terms of what Liam Cohen's going to do with this offense and thinking about his history with the run game, whether it was with the Rams, whether it was with the Bucks, whether it was with University of Kentucky. That's where I get the most encouragement, I think, in considering what could be coming down the pike as soon as the 2025 season. So we stick with the offense now as we wrap things up here on the latest edition of No Sleep Teal. If the Jaguars, this is way too early, I know, but I'm going to put you to the put your feet to the fire a little bit here.
Let's go.
The Jaguars come out in 11 personnel in the 2025 season opener as it sits right now. Obviously, yeah. Trevor is your quarterback. Who's the running back? Who's the tight end? And who are the three wide receivers? If you had to make a guess today, starting running back, starting tight end, three wides, who you got?
I'm going to say Tank is the starter, I think, especially if it ends up being Well, man, with the GM, I do think that that does end up kind of changing things. But I think based on what Cohen likes out of his running back, you look at what happened with Bucky Irving last year, where Bucky Irving quickly took over the job over Rachaad White, who, you know, there's some similarities between Tank and Bucky and ETN and Rachaad White. I think Tank is the starting running back.
Nice.
Obviously, BTJ is your first receiver. I'm going to say Christian Kirk is still around.
I think
I'm gonna
they go get a deal I'm gonna take done. A
gamble.
Okay.
I'll take a gamble and say Christian Kirk is still around. I think wide receiver three is is not on the roster. I think Gabe Davis is gone.
TBD to TBD. Be determined. I like it.
And I think it'll probably be a draft pick rather than like a third or fourth round guy, maybe. Rather than, you know,
that would be Gabe Davis.
Yeah, rather than Gabe Davis. It could be Parker Washington, but I just don't think that having Christian Kirk and Parker Washington, who are so
you got the same guy, same type of guys, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's wide receiver TBD, could be free agency. I'm thinking draft, but could be free agency. And then I believe I'm going to stick with Evan Engram. I think he will still be on the roster.
You think they can get something done with both Kirk and Evan Engram?
I think that is the path of least resistance.
Okay.
I think it just comes down to,
I mean, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, and Trevor are tight.
Yeah.
I mean, they
I think
tight.
Trevor wants it. I Maybe bet if
you
they
can
go
work that to your
that's
benefit.
That's part of it too. It's just a matter of
but that money
they have it right now, at least for this season. You know what I mean? That's the other thing too, is keeping Kirk and Engram around at least for this year. I don't think that long-term it's affecting your wallet all that much. I think really you're just locking in this season. So there's that. And again, just familiarity, you know, you've kind of had a hectic situation with, you know, having a new coach come in, GM's coming in right before the combine. I just don't know how crazy you're going to get with tearing down and rebuilding the roster when you're already in late February.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Interesting. Interesting stuff with Evan Ryer. I'm Travis Ryer. We are at Party Girl Avondale. It's kind of Avondale. It's Fairfax. It's Avondale, Ortega area.
Yeah,
so
it's all of it.
You need to get by here and check it out. You got the chicken salad. You got pimento cheese. You got ready-to-go dinners right now. Speaking of Pawpaw's vegetable beef soup, Ev, you know what else is in that display case just over my shoulder here?
What?
It is Italian stuffed shells. Ugh. The stuffed shells with the beef and the cheese and the sauce comes with a nice slab of that garlic toast.
I haven't eaten lunch yet, and this is torture.
I mean, it might as well be home for you back in like 2010 or something, you know. It's like,
I mean, it really is all the Ryder family favorites. Yeah. It's that's how you know it's authentic. That's how you know it's good. We are offering the stuff, or mom is offering the stuff that what we truly love and what we've depended on, you know, for dinner.
You like that cowboy caviar dip, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Love that stuff too.
It's over there. It's all
you
like banana pudding. You like banana. You like mom's banana pudding, don't you?
Yes. I'm so mad. I'm so mad I'm not there right now.
Oh, we know you'll make it soon enough.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to it. But fun show, man. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's exciting times. It's weird recording right before probably this news gets announced, but we'll be able to hit it back next week.
It's the pregame show.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tailgate, taking right into it. Yeah. Ev, look forward to doing it again soon, my man.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, be sure to go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And a thumbs up. Thumbs up for the program would help Ev and myself tremendously too. So for Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal. And until next time, so long, everybody.